Thanks everybody for coming. Thank you for the organizers for being there. So I'm going to present a software which is called Sage. So it's not Sage for accounting, but Sage for doing mathematics. So it's open source system, of course, and which is for general purpose mathematics. So everywhere from numerics to graph theory to combinatorics to algebra and things like this. So I'm going to start by a short history. So it would be very sketchy, very, very short. But essentially, as soon as computers came in, mathematicians started to use them to do computer exploration or even to start proving things. And so between the 50s and 80s, many people did write codes for their specific project. And there were some major achievements like a proof of the four-color theorem, which involved computing on a mainframe for a couple months. Of course, my cell phone could do the same now in a couple of seconds. But things have evolved. But there was a limitation to this in that people could start develop a bit of code, but they very soon they realized that there were too many things that needed to be implemented to just do it by themselves. They had to share and they had to reach a larger scale. Also, another thing that was frustrating for them is that the programming languages that were available did not allow to express themselves in a natural enough way, which meant that essentially those that were programming were really experts that had both like math and computer science culture, and this really did limit the things. And so the big change in the 80s is the apparition of two things. On one end, there were general purpose systems like Maple, Mathematica, and those allowed, and a bunch of others, and those really allowed every mathematician to start playing with it. And also there was the occasion to discover that this could be a great tool for teaching. So that was one thing. And on the other end, there were a lot of specialized systems where a community, for example, community of group theory, will just all get together and write, accumulate, and share all the code as open source and develop systems that were specialized. So this worked quite well, and this was really great on one end for communities because they started to share code. It was the occasion to explore what were the kind of idioms and what kind of languages people wanted to have. And also the occasion to discover and make it more mainframe. I would just cite two, Axiom and Mupad, which were relatively open, but basically died because they were not actually completely open. But the main problem were still two things. On one end, each of those systems was using its own programming language. So if you were in a field like combinatorics, where usually you want to be doing a bit of linear algebra, a bit of group theory, a bit of this, then you are stuck because you wanted to call this system, and combine together, and you just could not. So that was one of the limitations. So it was really splitting the community. Of course, it was frustrating for everybody to not have something general purpose that could be used for teaching, and we were not using a standard programming language. And in the meantime, since in those 20 years, a lot of progress was done, and there were now programming languages that were starting to be good enough for expressing mathematics. And so in the early 2000s, there really was a big frustration in the community because people were unhappy to be stuck in this situation, to either have something to use something commercial or to be using something specialized, and then they were stuck in their little field. And many people started, there were a lot of projects that started that died, and a lot of things that were started. And finally, in 2005, William Stein did open a web page and created the system Sage and set this mission to create a viable, high-quality, open-source alternative to Maple, Mathematica, Magma, and MATLAB. It's pretty bold. When I saw this on the web page, I say, woo, impressive. Actually, the whole audience should say, woo, right? But that's just the beginning. With a community of users and developers that is friendly. Wow, that's really bold. So I saw this, I said, okay, interesting, that's exactly what we would want to happen. How does he want to do this? Does he have some idea on how to achieve this? Nice thing, the next page was explaining what were the design principles. The main thing, it was developed by a community of users for users, so it was going out of the Maple, Mathematica way, to be completely open source from the ground up and written down. And the other thing was not to reinvent the wheel, not to recreate yet another system. So The nice thing is that there were a lot of libraries, existing libraries, specialized libraries, so the idea was trying to just put all of them together, reuse as much as possible, and use a standard programming language. Well, he explored a lot of things. He chose Python, which is, let's say, as good as Innoverse. One of the nice things is Python as a compiler. So if at some point you have a critical section where you really have, need to have speed, you can compile this part and reach it usually, well, be as fast as C, basically. And then he opted for a development model which is kind of bazaar side, but to, yes, so that doesn't go wrong with just, if everybody was just putting stuff without more, that would instantly be a mess. So to avoid having getting it being a mess, there was a strong emphasis on test, on documentation, and on peer review. So we are, it was something done a lot by researchers, so just what do we do so that the literature is not too much of a mess? We have reviews, well, we wanted to do the same. And of course, to have some proselytism, hello, I'm here, that is both active but critical. I'm going to try to say, hey, Sage is good here and Sage is crappy here. And if I don't do it, tell me. So they started, I saw this happen, and I say, okay, first thing I should do is wait a couple of years, see how it's going to open. So in 2005, there was this first little Sage that appeared, which was this essentially a bunch of libraries with a bit of glue written in Python to get them together. In 2006, there were the first Sage days, and there were 10 people, so already going from one person, one developer, to 10 developers. In 2007, Sage won the Trophée du Libre. So we are back at the RMLL. And well, in 2008, seeing how things were starting to crystallize and how all this frustration that was in the community was actually building, well, getting people to join and get a lot, I decided to join. And that was a tough decision because I had been trying to get my community to do something, to get together and write code, in this case about combinatorics. So that's something I had been doing for 8 years. We had accumulated 100,000 lines of code. So switching from system was a big decision, and so that's something we took together and said, okay, let's move to something really completely open source. And now we're on 2013, that's Sage 5.10, about regular workshops. So the last one that occurred was Sage Days 50, so you can see that there were a couple of them. Maybe 300 contributors. How many users? We don't know. The only thing that we know is that there is a Sage public server on the cloud, and people can register. And recently, the server broke just because there were more than 32 and 76 users. So it was not designed to scale that fast. But it gives an idea that, well, quite a few people are using it. And we get serious funding for this from the NSF, from math agencies, from university institutes. Even Google is providing some funding for Google Summer of Code. Even Microsoft gave us some money. So, enough bragging. Now you want to see what Sage is in practice. And I'm going to try something. I'm always telling my students that they should make their own, well, they should adapt technology to what they need. So that's what I'm doing. Is this a bother for you or not? That's okay, it's not in the middle. Perfect. Good. Now I can face you and type at the same time. So you have tools, you just combine them in whatever way is practical for yourself, and you should do this with your tool. So here I'm starting Sage in the low-level way. So it's just a little interpreter, and you can type commands in there. So I'm doing just 1 plus 1, and this is 2. So it's just a little pocket calculator. Okay. You can notice here, 1 divided by 5 is not 0.2. It's an exact calculation. So Sage, by default, does only exact calculations, okay? So that's the first interface that you can have, just command line. If you want something a bit more fancy, you can start in MOOC, and in the meantime, I'm going to plug the power from my computer before it crashes. Okay, so what did it do? Well, write a lot of crap here, but this is not the interesting thing. The interesting thing is this actually started Firefox, so they started a little Sage server, well, web server running Sage, and I'm connecting to it through my usual Firefox. So that's the usual interface to Sage. And the nice thing about it is that you can either run Sage on your machine or run Sage far away, and it's going to be exactly the same interface. So let's create a new worksheet. Okay, and now you have a little environment like this where you can do the same commands as before, but now you can also do some little text editing. So here I want to you can enter some text, and maybe in this text you want to have some formula. If you know LaTeX, well, you just put LaTeX into there. And there you are. So you can write a little document and have a notebook with some text and embedded into there, have more calculations, and so on. Okay? Probably you want to access the documentation, so there is a big reference manual. You just go to this help button all the way up. And then, of course, first thing would be to run the tutorials. You have a reference manual right there. The reference manual is, well, they have reorganized it a bit, but you don't want to print it. It's 6,000 pages or something like that. So there is some good documentation. One thing you might want to go is go for the tutorials. So there are a lot of tutorials to get started. Well, some just to read simple things, and then a more advanced about algebra, number theory, combinatorics, you name it. What I'm going to do is just go for a little demo here. Okay, show you some basic calculation with Sage. So we have seen this 1 plus. So you can do, it's really a little pocket calculator to start with. It's an exact pocket calculator. Never mind the pictures here. Let me get rid of them. Delete all out. There we are. Now, you might want to actually do more numeric calculations. So that's one way to do this. And numeric calculation is not just floating point numbers, but you can do numerical approximation with a bit of precision. And this is not something that is, that has been calculated on the fly. It's not that it knows all the decimals. So you can do this on any, you write any expression with cosine or sine, etc., and you can compute it to whatever precision you want. You can do some factoring of polynomials, of course. You can do symbolic calculations. So here, I'm defining two variables, x and y. So if you have been using Maple and Mathematica, you might be surprised. Here, we are using a standard programming language. So x is really, by default, it's a programming variable. It's not a symbolic variable. So here, I've got to say explicitly, okay, x and y are symbolic variables. And now I can write this function here. And then I can maybe integrate this function and get some result at some point. You might say, oh, this is ugly. So I'm going, so where is it? I'm going to switch to a nicer output, and now we get a nicer formula that you can read. So this, all of this is actually LaTeX, and that is rendered by MatJax behind the scene, so by JavaScript to render it into your browser, etc. You can solve equations, well, do everything you can imagine for basic calculations, and this is just an example of doing some statistics. So again, Sage doesn't do, in this case, Sage doesn't do statistics by itself. It delegates the job to another system. I think it will be enough for a demo. So Sage is a distribution of software, so that's everything that is included into Sage. So that's a lot of different software. You could imagine, some people actually complain that it's more like a distribution is getting closer to being Ubuntu for mathematics than something else, which means that when you install Sage, it's a 1 gigabyte install, so it's a big, big thing. But it also has a native library, so now it's 1 million lines of code, basically, covering graph theory, combinatorics, number theory, you name it. And so some of the nice things. So it's completely open source. It's available on Linux, macOS, Windows. Well, Windows, we are cheating a bit. At this point, you have to install. It's easy to install, but it actually installs a virtual machine and run Sage inside the virtual machine. So that's OK most of the time. But this means that if you go in a third world country and you have to install Sage on a lot of computers that might be a bit old, then quite often on the memory side, it's going to be on the, it will be on the edge. It's in progress. There are some people are working out to make it work using Cygwin and having native things, but it's getting there. In terms of features, it covers most of mathematics. If you want to go more to numerics, if you are thinking, oh, I want a replacement for MATLAB, maybe Sage is not exactly going to be the interesting thing. The interesting thing is in written in Python, and so you can include all the Python stack for symbol, for numerical calculations, SciP, NumP, etc., etc. But there are things where there is basically nothing. Probabilities, general probabilities, there is nothing. There are bugs. The nice thing is quite often if you report them, and there is a public bug tracker, they get fixed relatively quickly, not always. So sometimes you might need to fix them yourself. But if you, of course, if you make a fix, you contribute, and it's there. The interface is so. Documentation is quite good from a reference manual point of view. It's lacking good cross-references. Oh, and yeah, there are books. So let me advertise this book that we wrote in French about Sage. You're welcome to peek at it. It's lacking good cross-references. It's not good there. And it's lacking some overview documents. That's things that need progress. It's used quite intensively. I'm going to skip this. There is some user support via mailing lists and the like. And there is a large contributor community. So that's where people are in the world. There are regular workshops. So if you want to get serious about Sage, I really recommend there. Usually it's 1 week. And there will be tutorials. And there will be you will meet a lot of people. You can meet people to have joint project and so on. So just to conclude, the main question is, is this viable? This idea of having something developed by users for users, is this reasonable for something that is quite technical? I'm just going to show why it works for me. So myself, I'm using it a lot for my own research, and I usually have maybe 1 kilobyte of code that is really specific to my own research. But very often I will want to do a bit of maybe something else about combinatorics. And I don't want to be re-implementing myself. And actually, that's OK, because I'm in a larger community of 42 people at this point doing combinatorics. So most likely, if I need something that is not really exactly in my field of specialty, someone will have written it for me. And then if it gets larger about mathematics, then I'm in a community of 300 people, and someone will have done it for me. And if it gets really about larger, I'm in a larger community. And if I start having to do some generic scientific calculation, I'm in this huge ecosystem of all the Python stack. And if I start having to do a database of objects, if I want to do network, if I want to do anything like this, well, I'm in this Python world, and I've got everything there. And I think this is why this is currently working. Essentially, everybody contributes at its scale, and usually this is enough. It's not quite true. That is, if at this point someone could give me 5 people to work on Sage, there are really 5 points that are really technical and where we're lacking developers on a regular basis. But that's just 5 out of 300, and maybe that's something that we can convince some funding agency, or if anybody of you has money, please. And I'm going to conclude there. Questions?
Yeah, so I was just wondering, is there any support for doing proofs? Because you're a mathematician and you may want to be doing proofs.
Yeah, my colleague next door is actually working in Proof Fairy and using the Coq, etc. At this point, there is no direct connection, but we are definitely thinking of this. That is, there are some algorithms in Sage that I would like to prove using system. And on the other hand, proof assistants like Coq would be interested in using possibly Sage for delegating some part of the proof that require calculations. So that's something we are interested in, but there is no built-in support in Sage.